Let's turn to Scripture, shall we? And I would like you to come with me to the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Perhaps if we look into the first chapter and the 15th verse, just to at least come in somewhere, not that I want to stay within the confines of these verses or just this chapter, but Paul says that in this confidence, I was minded, he says, to come unto you before that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? All the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Amen. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Amen. I just want to stop there and to immediately introduce ourselves to the difference between the flesh and the spirit. For he said, you can usually tell fleshy preaching, it's yea, yea, and nay, nay. That's what it is. Fleshy preaching is yes and no, and you don't quite know where you stand with it. You don't know whether it's yes for you and no for someone else. Or you don't know whether it's yes for you sometimes and no for you other times. Praise the name of the Lord. But this great indiscriminating attitude of the heart of God in this wonderful gospel, beloved, it's yea. Now, you may know tonight, whoever you are in this room, that God's fixed attitude toward you in Christ is yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. So that if you say, do you love me? Yes. Did you die for me? Yes. Will you heal me? Yes. Will you fill me? Yes. Will you direct my life? Yes. And in case you that's not strong enough, he says, amen. That's right. Amen. God says, yes. And if you go back and ask him the second time, he says, amen. That's right. And it's such a wonderful thing for our hearts to grasp, beloved, and to know this glorious gospel. For, you see, this is what he says. When he came to Troas, I'm looking in the second chapter, this is how he speaks. Verse 12, I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel. But actually, the word preach isn't there in the Greek. He says, I came to Troas to Christ's gospel. Hallelujah. What a tremendous thing that was. Which shows you that the Spirit of God had outstripped him and was already there, waiting for Paul to arrive. And when he came there, he came to Christ's gospel. For I want to say to you tonight, beloved, that the gospel of Christ is in the Holy Ghost. All right? It's in the Holy Ghost. What do I mean by that? Well, I think if we just turn over our pages, say, and go to 1 Thessalonians, we shall get really what this great man by the Spirit is saying to us. And as the Holy Ghost, of course, is writing these letters, it's absolutely true. Here it is, verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians 1. Brethren, I'm just altering it. We know, beloved brethren, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, here it is, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Praise God. Now, the gospel has to come to you tonight in the Holy Ghost, unless it won't come to you. Amen. Got to come to you in the Holy Ghost. And Paul went, beloved, to Troas to Christ's gospel. He never went to any other gospel than the gospel of Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. And if you look back into that 2 Corinthians 1st chapter again, you will find this is how he speaks. Verse 18. As God is true. Now, I'm going to stop now. I'll ask you all a question. You must all answer it. Whether you do it out loud or not isn't the point, but you must answer the question. Here it is. Is God true or isn't he? Then if your life and my life isn't in accordance with God, who's wrong? Who's untrue? All right. God is true. And moreover, in order to be true in himself, he has to be true to himself. And that means if he's got to be true to himself, he's got to be true to us. Praise God. He can't vacillate. He can't tell you a lie. He can't shift off his own ground. He can't be yes one minute and no another. He can't be that. Now let your heart take that in. Because the most deceptive thing about a human being is his own heart. Till God changed it. It's deceitful above everything. The human heart. It'll turn God's yeas into nays when it wants. It will turn God's truth into lies. That's what the human heart will do until a person gets so desperate he lets God deal with it. And that's wonderful when God really gets done, because this is where we're coming tonight, beloved. This great gospel of ours, it's from true God, and so it's not yea, and it's not nay, in verse 18. And then he goes on to say, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you. I've left out the pronoun. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us. Amen. I don't know, beloved, what you think this gospel is, whether you think it's words. Now remember, we turned to the Thessalonian letter, which said that it wasn't in word. There has to be words, of course. There can't be preaching without words. That's a tremendous thing. But you see, it had to come in the Holy Ghost as well. Let's get this absolutely right. Although there have to be words in the preaching of the gospel, they are not the most important part of it. And the gospel is not a matter of rightly arranged, rightly understood, and rightly spoken words, according to fundamental evangelical doctrines and principles, if you know what they are. But never mind, I'm telling you what the gospel isn't. He says that we preached him. You understand that? We preached Jesus Christ. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now, I love this. Of course, this involves much that's known about him. About his pre-existence. Of course, if you've been well trained, you'll understand all about this. It's a pity some of us are so well trained, I think. But his pre-existence, and he was the eternal Son of God, and he was born in a manger, and he lived a human life, and he hung on a terrible cross, and he shed his blood, and died, and rose, and all the glory of it. And we may have a very comprehensive grasp of this, beloved, and some of us have had this since we were children. And I'm sorry for those who haven't had it. And it's wonderful to know these glorious things. But this wonderful gospel, beloved, is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, this is the glory of it, that here in this room tonight, not just because Jesus says that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. Not just because he said that and he keeps his promises and they're absolutely yea and amen, but that it can, that God intends his Son to come through the preaching. He intends his Son to come through the preaching of the gospel. This is the wonder of it, because the gospel is a matter of spirit. It's a matter of God. It's a matter of being in contact. And preaching is nothing else than the glorious ministry and operation of the laws of faith, whereby God can come through the lips of a man or a woman. And he can come, this great one who was the Word in the beginning, and the Word became flesh. Now he's flesh no more in that sense. And he's gone, and he's still the glorious Word with the Father. And as he was spoken in the beginning, and God said, let there be light. And as God said, let the dry land appear. And it all happened through the Word. Results came. Things came into visibility. Things came into reality. Things happened. Now tonight, Jesus Christ, having been on the earth, has gone back into that glorious pre-existent state with his Father. I know he's got a glorified body up there, but he's the Word. Hallelujah. And tonight, he proposes that as really as things happened in the beginning, he proposes that through his Word, here in this room, tremendous things should take place in all our lives. That's the great thing about it. Amen. And you can know before you start, and I think this is a thrilling thing, so that you won't have to ask your questions in an hour's time when I've finished preaching. But to say, you can know now if there's a question coming, being conceived, or in its inception, in your mind or anywhere else in you, the answer to it is yes. Providing if it's concerning you and your real relationships with Jesus Christ. Amen. Wonderful, isn't it? The answer to it's yes. Now take that right in your heart. Don't say, well, will he say no to me? You remember a little woman once. I think she was dead scared Jesus might say no to her. So she crept up behind him and got hold of the hem of his garment and got it without asking and was off. And Jesus said, here, come back. Let everybody know it's yes. Let everybody know it's amen.
Amen.
That's right. Let them all know. Praise God. He says to Mark, write it down in your gospel, Mark. Praise God. It's all yes. Amen. You see? My sir, so-and-so, lying upon, I'll come to him. I'll come and heal him. Now, he was going to say, Lord, will you come? And he wanted Jesus to say yes, but he didn't wait. He said, I'll come. That's it. That's your servant, Jesus. Your saviour. Your lover. Jesus. It's yes. You say, will he deal with this in me? Yes. Will he deal with that in me? Yes. Will he do that for me? Yes, if you're coming in true faith to him. Amen. He'll do it. Because there's nothing that you could ask of him that he hasn't already done. If you had cheek enough to ask him to make a new world, he's already done it. He's made one. That's easy. You wouldn't be so silly as to ask him to make a new world. Anyway, he's promised to make one, so you needn't ask. You needn't ask for a private one of your own. Go into his. It's much better. These are the tremendous things that you've got to understand, beloved, so that men come off the ground of their own folly and move into the glorious wisdom of God. Come off the ground of their own treacherous, lying mind and move into the truth of God. Amen. Now that's why we've got the book. And this great gospel, beloved, is yes, 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 amen, amen, amen. But you know, wonder that God saying amen for you. You needn't even pray. That's what the woman discovered. You see? Glory be to God, it's your hesitant mind. It's your deceived attitude. Beloved, it's not you especially. We either are all like it or have been like it. But that's the way we're born. We're born with the devil's lie fixed in the very substance of our being. Yeah, that's the sin. Yeah, started in the garden. So far as men were concerned, started in heaven as far as the angels were concerned, followed a great big lie. Now, beloved, the Lord wants us to enter into everything that he has for us. Do you want to? Then let's go on, because not only is this the preaching of the Son of God, but if we go to the third chapter, this is what we read. Hallelujah. It's a precious book, this. It says, verse 2, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, forasmuch as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Amen. Not of the letter. Now you've got to discover whether you're a minister of the Old Testament or the New Testament. Most people are ministering the Old Testament. Their language is the language of the New, but they're ministering the Old. That's the trouble. Hallelujah. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth,
that the Spirit giveth life.
So, you see, if men are just preaching words, even Bible words, because the letter here that he speaks about were actually letters written by the finger of God in tables of stone. Actually written by God himself, not even by an intermediary. This is a tremendous thing for us to realize, beloved. It isn't the ministry, it isn't the preaching of the words. For beside preaching the Christ, a man must minister the Spirit. This is what we've read. The preaching of Christ can only be done by a ministry of the Spirit. Now, beloved, what a glorious thing this is. Now, happily enough, praise the name of the Lord, we, though perhaps all of us in this room wouldn't say we were preachers, we could all be ministers of the Spirit. And that's better. That's better. Far, far better, beloved. To minister the Spirit. Now, when we realize this, what God is saying to us, beloved, you see, this ministry is a ministry of the heart. Praise him. Now that is precisely, beloved, why it's got to be in the Spirit. Tonight, every one of us in this room has got to be written within. We've got to be written in our hearts. God's got to do it. Do you want him to? Do you want him to? To write in your heart. Do you see what this man is saying? It's a tremendous thing that Paul, he was just a man of flesh and blood. He moved into this place at Corinth, and there was something coming through him. He was ministering the third person of the Trinity. He was ministering God the Holy Ghost. And God the Holy Ghost was getting through all the defenses, coming through all the reserves, getting below all just the mental processes, and it was writing onto their hearts. Don't you see that when God began the Old Testament with men, he started by writing on tablets of stone. Now it all starts like that in the New Testament. It isn't that God has called men to write on papyrus or parchment or some kind of manuscript or on wood pulp and rag converted to paper. It isn't that, beloved, that God's concerned about. It is that he has to come himself. Now this is why the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost came from heaven not just to make people speak in other tongues, and glory be to God for that. He's more intent on writing than speaking. Amen. And he comes to write in people's hearts, because they're not in it till it's happened. With all their believing, it starts with that. Hallelujah. You know that the Lamb's blood was shed. It's the same story. The Lamb's blood was shed. And so on and so on, and they came out, they crossed the Red Sea, and they were brought to Sinai, where God would write the covenant for them. God would write the testament. The testament is God's testimony. It's what he says. It's what he thinks. It's what he wants. It's what he's going to have. It's come forth from himself. Amen. And he wrote it. He didn't want them approximating, saying, glory, hallelujah, for the blood of the Lamb, or something like that, and dancing and skipping away into Canaan. He stopped them and he said, now listen, I've got to write this thing down for you. Amen. And when Moses broke the first tablet, he didn't say, well, that's that, now you've lost them. He says, come on, it's still got to be written, bring another lot.
All right, I'm putting it colloquially, but you know the tremendous story. Excuse me. And it had to be written down. Now, my beloved, God, in this dispensation and this covenant, he's not just having it so we can say, glory, hallelujah, for the blood of the Lamb that was slain. Oh, glory, and 10,000 glories, and 10,000 times 10,000 hallelujahs because of that. But, beloved, he's got to write in your heart. Amen. That's what's got to happen to you. And this is the tremendous thing. And you look at what verse 3 says. It says, you are manifestly declared. You know, not secret sort of letters tucked away somewhere in the bureau. You have to touch a secret spring to find it. Or something like that. He says, you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Not an epistle. The glory be to God. Praise him. The epistle of Christ. Hallelujah. It's a poem, isn't it? Just take the words, the epistle of Christ. Who's that man? He's the epistle of Christ. Who's that woman? She's the epistle of Christ. Say, really? Is that what Jesus Christ is sending to me? Is that what Jesus Christ is saying to me? Is that what Jesus Christ has written plainly for me to see? Am I to be like him? Am I to be like her? Well, might they ask. Well, might they ask, beloved. You don't find many inquiries like that in your office, I suppose, or in your workshop, or down your street. Your neighbours call this over the wall. This is the tremendous thing, beloved. That God is saying, oh, praise his wonderful name, written in the fleshy tables of your heart. And don't you recall, go back to the great 36th of Ezekiel, shall we? You know this marvellous chapter. You will know, if you know me, how often I use this tremendous verse. Because you will know, beloved, that this is written, or if you don't know it, let me tell you, or if you do know it, let me remind you, that this is written by the Holy Ghost through the prophet Ezekiel concerning the time when the nation is going to be born in a day. All right? And God's going to bring them out of all their graves, valley of dry bones, in the next chapter, where they're all hidden amongst all the nations, his true Israel. He's going to bring them in, and he's going to put them in their land. He's going to cleanse them from all their idols. He's going to wash away everything. And then that wonderful 26th verse says, he's going to put a new heart in them. He says, I'm going to take away out of your flesh the heart of stone. And I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Now, remember, it was the fleshy tables of the heart, praise God, where I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And I'm going to take away the old heart, and I'm going to give you a new spirit, and I'm going to put my spirit inside you. What a tremendous thing. Now, this then is an analysis of what happens in the new birth. When the nation's going to be born in the day, that's what's going to happen to them. And when we're born, any day we're born of the Spirit, this is the process of God. That he takes away the old stony heart, that's what God had to write the old covenant on tables of stone. And he's going to take them out, and he's going to give us the heart of flesh, Hallelujah. And he's going to write his glorious epistle on that heart. Amen. So that a man lives from a new heart and he lives a new life. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And God has inscribed writing by the Holy Ghost. It's absolutely true. God is true. He writes this by the Holy Ghost upon the hearts of men and women, the fleshy tables of the heart, praise his wonderful name, so that we can have this glorious life. And anything less than that kills us. Kills us stone dead. Only this can give life. This is what it says. The Spirit giveth life. And how does he give life? By writing on the fleshy tables of your heart the New Testament. That's how he does it. Praise God. It isn't left for head beliefs. It's simple. God has made it all plain. It's written in the book. It's as clear as crystal for those who have an eye to see it. And when the Lord does these glorious things, and we find the great apostles of the New Testament talking like this, why, that old writing was a ministration of death. I'm looking at verse 7. Just words written into stone. It's a ministration of death. Amen. And it was a tremendous thing. And in verse 9 it says, it was a ministry of condemnation. Now, my beloved, if you've got death and desolation and condemnation in your inward parts, it's because you haven't had this great inscription of the New Testament in your heart. That's why. Simple as ABC. Praise God. And you know, the tremendousness about it is this, that under that Old Testament, when Moses, you remember, had been up with God for those 40 days and 40 nights, and then went back up again for another 40 days and another 40 nights, when God was ministering this glorious truth to him, when he came down, his face was shining. The glory of this, when he was receiving a ministration of death, when he was receiving a ministration of condemnation, this man's face shone. Hallelujah. Now, my beloved, listen. I know some people like this. Listen. There were two of them. They were walking along the road to Emmaus. You know what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ came and joined themselves to him. They walked along the road together. The Lord Jesus opened up the scriptures to them, showed them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, and they went in to break bread when Jesus made as though he would have gone further. But they would only go so far, so many people like that. So they said, come in with us, and he'll go in with you even if you will only go so far. Understand this? And he loved you. Oh yeah, he didn't quit. He's a lover, I tell you. He sticks closer than a brother. And he'll go in with you. He'll stop you in your little four walls. He'll do that all right with you. Yeah. But he would have gone further if only you would have done. And he's there, and he breaks the bread. And he's known to them in the breaking of bread, you see. And this is what they say. Our hearts burn within us, you know. Talk about the burning heart and the the shining face of old Moses.
Yeah.
And people think they're there. But I want to tell you that God's got something more glorious than that for us. You could have spent the whole weekend, though many of our weekenders have left us. Well, we wouldn't all have got in tonight, they'd all stayed, would we? But you could have spent the whole weekend with us, beloved, and you could have had this same heart-burning experience, and your face could have started to shine to some extent. But my beloved, that could still be death in you. Yeah. Still be death. Praise God. Their hearts burned because the same one that talked to Moses on the mount that made his face shine with the glory was talking with them. He began at Moses, it says, and all the prophets and all the scriptures, that's where he began. Their hearts started to burn. It's wonderful, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. But my beloved brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that God made the mountain burn when he was on there. But they weren't, that mountain wasn't born again, I'll tell you. It wasn't born again. Praise God. God set it apart for his purposes. This is the tremendous thing, and God had to show this man, unworthy as he is, that's talking to you tonight, this very thing. Hallelujah. There has to come a ministration of the Spirit. The ministration of death and condemnation. If you're kept under it long enough, up on a burning mountain can make your very skin shine. So people will think, oh, it's marvelous. That's the place to go. My beloved brothers and sisters, you've got to let God come into your heart, young or old, whoever you be. You've got to let him come right in there and right in by his Spirit. You've got to admit that at heart level it isn't working in your life. It isn't coming from heart level. You've got to admit it isn't. Amen. It's a glorious place to come to when you know it's not working at heart level, and then you begin to say, Lord, you come and write on my heart. If you were writing epistles today, Lord, then write me. Write me. Hallelujah. And God, Jesus Christ, will write you from heaven by the Spirit. And when I say write, I don't mean R-I-G-H-T. I mean W-R-I-T-E. Write me. Write me, Lord. Write me. That is, I've got to be rewritten. My life's not been an epistle. My life has not been a message from God to my wife, my family, my church, my neighbors, my boss, my children, my brothers and sisters. My life has not been that. Rewrite me, Lord. I've been a gazer on it. I've been in all sorts of burning things and I don't know what. But oh God, write me from heaven. Write me from heaven. And when Jesus writes, it's inspired. Glory. When Jesus writes, it's by the Spirit. When Jesus writes, he writes on the tables of your heart. Oh, you know, it would be stupid, foolish talking if it wasn't written in this book. Hallelujah. Amen. If the Lamb's got a book of life, I want to tell you he's got a letter of life too. And it's got to be you. The epistle of Jesus Christ. We talk about the epistles of Paul, the epistles of John, the epistle of Jude, the epistles of Peter, the epistle of James, the epistle to this one, the epistle to that one. And we say, but where's the epistle of Christ? He never wrote anything. Yes, he did. He wrote me. He's restrained himself from sitting at the desk of an author, where papyrus and manuscript and perishable things are. He writes in flesh and blood. He writes in men and women. Glory. He writes a man's life. He writes a woman's life. And you know what you do with letters, don't you? Send them. That's right. Send them. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, what God wants us to understand. Now, this is what he says. If that verse 11, which was done away, was glorious. Amen. It was a glorious thing that was done away. You know it was, don't you? It was a glorious thing. Why, when old Stephen talks about it in the seventh chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, goes right to the beginning. He says, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. And Moses saw the glory in the bush. Amen. And there was glory on the mountain, and the reflected glory of it was on his face. Beloved. And you know as well as I do that when that tabernacle was made, and latterly the temple built, the glory came and filled the places. And it's all been done away, absolutely done away. It came so clear to me at an earlier part of this meeting, and I prayed it out, and I couldn't hold it any longer. Glory, that in the end of the age he appeared and he did it all away, finished it. Not that kind of glory anymore. Not that kind of thing anymore. Hallelujah. He's starting something new. Amen. Oh, it's all so marvelous. When this gets right hold of me, my heart fills and thrills with this revelation of God. He's done it all away to begin something in the Spirit. Not that it should reside only in the spirit of a man. This book tells me that it's on the fleshy tables of my heart, where I've lived my life, my fleshy life, my carnal, sinful, fleshy, worldly life. Now the Holy Ghost has come and gotten hold of the seat and source of all my fleshiness and inscribed the glory of the Spirit and life of God there at the beginning of it all. Where all my personal sin was pursued from. Amen. He writes it there. Glory be to God. If we were going to say Paul had made a mistake, we would say it was here. On the spiritual tables of your heart, you mean, man? He says, no, glory, you may look it up. It's the fleshy tables of your heart. Glory. Amen. Is that a figure of speech? It's reality. God wants to send letters. He wants to send messages into this world. For the life of him, he can't get the right materials. Or can he? Because people won't let him come into the heart level. Not there. They'll have him up here. Or they'll have him in here. Or they'll have him up there. But they won't let him come in here. Praise the name of the Lord. When the Spirit starts to write, this is what he says. In verse 13, he says this. We're not to be like Moses. Moses put a veil over his face. so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Amen. They never saw to the end of that which God has done away with. Now the whole glorious secret of it all, beloved, is here. That God wants us to see to the very end of what he's at in our lives. He wants us to see to the end. You see, the Old Testament, it was all right so far as it went. And just when people were thinking they were going to get somewhere, they saw a great big veil hanging up in front of their face. They couldn't see to the end. They could go so far, you see, and then there was a great big veil. Oh, it was a beautiful veil. It was a marvelous veil. It had the cherubim, gold, intertwined needlework. It was marvelous. They fell down in front of it and they worshipped, not it, but him that dwelt behind it. They fell down and it was glorious, and they swung the incense and they sprinkled the bloods. And I don't know what they didn't do there, beloved. That was the tragedy of it. They could not see to the end. Amen. Now, you've got to be able to see clear through to the end. Amen. Well, I'm asking you, can you see clear through to the end? And do you know what end God is after in your life? Do you know? And if I tell you, are you willing for it to take place? Now listen, in God it's yes. I needn't stop now and say, Lord, now you tell us what you want. We know what it wants. It's all yes. Praise God. All right, now let's go on then. The end is this, that God wants you in verse 18 with an open face to behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. That's what he wants you to behold. And be changed into that image. And go on being changed from one degree of glory into a greater. From glory to glory. Now that's what God wants for you. Now I want to ask you a question. Have you got the glory? Are you in the glory? Is the glory in you? Now I don't want you to get glories mixed up with anointings and puffins and huffins and blowings and rollings and clappings and dancings. I don't want you to get the glory mixed up with that. That can come in at times, hallelujah, but that's not glory. As I've often said, I don't expect to see God banging a tambourine and jumping around on the throne when I get to heaven. I don't expect to, and he's got all the glory. I don't expect to, because if I have a surprise, then that'll be it. But I don't expect that. I really don't. I'm being honest. But, beloved, nevertheless, God wants you to be changed from glory to glory. Now, you won't have this unless, beloved, you can see to the end. And here it is. It says that, where shall we start? Oh, let's start, shall we, at verse 1 of chapter 4. We have this ministry. That's the ministry we have. Praise the name of the Lord. We've received mercy. We don't faint. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, or the glorious gospel as you have it there, the Greek is the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your slaves, for Jesus' sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. That's it. Praise the name of the Lord. You ought to be able to see that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has shined in your heart so that you can see it. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, beloved, Moses was the mediator of the old covenant. And he hid his face. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Amen. And we're to see his face. We're to see it. You see, beloved, God is wanting the Lord Jesus Christ to be in us in all fullness. His face shining inside you. Now that's what he's after. And you see, it's so tremendous. We're told this, that verse 17 of chapter 3, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, or where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. There's not only an unveiling, there's not only everything made plain, but there's utter liberty, freedom, beloved. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if you see this. This is the breathtaking thing that must dawn on your heart. God has granted you absolute liberty. If you'll let the Spirit be Lord in your life, to write in you what he wants, God will give you liberty to go right in there and know the wonder of Jesus Christ absolutely revealed in your life. As he is, his open, unveiled face shining inside you. This is your treasure that you're to have in your earthen vessel. Your treasure is not just having a heart that's been inscribed by God. Your treasure is not just having a life that is an epistle, or the epistle of Jesus Christ. Your treasure is that you have the author of the epistle in your heart. The Lord Jesus. Glory. And your greatest joy, beloved, is to go aside into some quiet place and gaze upon the face of your beloved, and he's in your heart, and he's all your treasure. And I want to tell you that for him, you'll have to let everyone and everything else go. For him. As even as he let everyone and everything else go for you. You've got to see that this is a heart thing from God. Amen. It's a heart thing from God. It isn't even a blood thing from God. It isn't even a gospel thing from God only. It includes all these. It isn't just a marvelous power thing from God. It's a heart, glorious revelation of God. God wants to reveal Jesus Christ to you, in you. Oh, beloved, do you see what he's after in your life? Do you see? Do you want him to get there in you? Do you? He couldn't do this under the old covenant. If they'd have rent that veil one day in rebellion and rushed in, they'd never have seen anyone. And you know, Moses told them this. You may read it in the book of Deuteronomy. In the opening chapters of Deuteronomy, he said to them in chapter 4, as he got them standing there on the borders of the land, yet in Moab, he says, you must remember the day when you stood under the mount. Amen. And remember that you saw no one. You saw no form at all. None. Nothing. You must not make a likeness of anything. You must not make an image. But Christ is the image of God. You've got it here. Hallelujah. You ought to have the living image in your heart. That's what you're to have. You mustn't make an image. You know, sometimes I go around, if you ever invite me to your home, you want to have a good look round before you invite me in. I go into homes and I see pictures of supposed to be of the Lord, you know, something like this, or great big soulful eyes and lovely brown curly hippie hair. Now, my beloved, listen. You understand that you're to have the knowledge of Jesus. Because I see the face of Jesus Christ in my heart, I know that that's wrong. As soon as I see that. Because you see, I know. You said, well, what's he like? Paint. Well, I couldn't even draw a cat to amuse my kids, so you'd have to excuse me. But I couldn't when they were young. But I'm no artist. But even if I was, I couldn't do it. Say, what's he like? So now what am I going to say? Let me go. Oh, he's altogether lovely. And I say, ooh. My gospel isn't in word. It's in the Holy Ghost. My Jesus isn't in here. He isn't in word. He's in the Holy Ghost. He's in the Spirit, in my heart. Hallelujah. I can't describe him. Indescribable, somebody said. Now, this is that Jesus. I'm asking you whether you know him. Now, the gospel I'm preaching to you isn't yay, nay, nay, yay, nay, yay, nay. Yay. It's amen. Jesus Christ is God's yes. Am I to be like him? Yes. Can I be like him? Yes. Can I love like he loves? Yes. Can I be pure as he is pure? Yes. Consult John, 1 John 3:3. Can I? Oh. Yes! 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 And you haven't meant it if in asking it you hadn't got it in your heart to say, Lord, if only I can, I'd let everything go. You haven't meant it. For in order to make you like this, he said, Father, I'll let everything go. See? Everything. Your own life, son? Yeah. Your blood, your very blood. It'll drain the blood out of your veins for me. Yes, yes. 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 You see, beloved, everything's yes in Jesus. It's all yes. And so the Lord moves in our lives, works upon us to bring us into this tremendous thing. And look at this verse 7 of chapter 3. I want you to take just some words here. It's written like this. The children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. Listen. We've got to steadfastly behold the face of Jesus. That's what we've got to do. In our hearts, Christ, verse 4 of chapter 3, of chapter 4, Christ is the image of God. And if he doesn't shine to you, if he isn't shining to you, beloved, it's because the God of this world, verse 4, has blinded your mind, and he's blinded your mind because you don't believe. It isn't that you can't believe because your mind's blinded. The veil will be taken away from your mind when you believe. Amen. You don't believe, so your mind is blinded. Hallelujah. It's a tremendous thing when you realize, beloved, that God is dealing on heart, mind, spirit levels. That's what he's doing. Are you ready for him? To really deal with you. Utterly. Glory. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you let the Lord do this, I warn you that if this happens to you, you, my beloved, will, looking at verse 5 of chapter 4, you'll immediately become a slave. So you'd better ask yourself a question, whether you want to be a slave, because you've heard it said that what you've got to do is be a king and sit on the throne and reign, you see. So you better ask yourself whether you want to be a slave. You better ask yourself that. Mind you, this is it. You've got to be a slave. Once you come here, utter slave. But what a slave. What a slave. All the slaves in the Eastern household, they had to wash feet, dirty, stinking, smelly feet. They had to know they wouldn't abide in the house forever. They had to know that they were just something that could be carted off any day and sold in the marketplace. They had to know that they had no rights of their own, no possessions of their own, no home of their own, no money of their own, no privileges of their own, no rights of their own. And they just had to get on with it, day after day. But I tell you what they never had. They never had the face of Jesus Christ in their heart. Now, this is it. This transforms slavery into the highest service. Glory. It lifts it from drudgery, glory, to keep the face shining. Amen. When the face of Jesus Christ is shining in your heart, sun shines on your face. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a marvelous thing. And when you're such a slave that you've got down lower and lower and lower, and you get treated worse and worse and worse, you say, wonderful, glory to glory. It's from glory to glory. Amen. A slave. Everything's topsy-turvy in this world. Everything's upside down. We're the race of people that have got to put it the right way up. We've got to transform everything. We've got to make slavery king's service. Drudgery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To be there, beloved. Because there's nothing outside that we're looking for except to see the epistle of Jesus Christ in someone else. And when you can see the real epistle of Jesus Christ, beloved, the glory is shining through life. It's shining through the life. Amen. You believe that? Well, that's what it is. And it's a thing that goes on and on and on and on and on in the whole of your experience. And this is what we read, beloved, that the Lord in verse 17 of chapter 3 is that Spirit, and where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory. Amen. Now, this is all because the Spirit's ministered. This is all because God is coming in on heart levels. There. And you have treasure in your earthly vessel. And beloved, if it's treasure, you know what you'll do with it, don't you? What do you do with treasure? What do you do with treasure? Treasure it. Keep it. Keep it. If you've got the treasure there, keep it there. Amen. Now the Lord wants you to be this, you see. Now I've asked you at the beginning that if I told you what it was, whether you would have it, whether you would go through in this great yay, 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 amen of God. Whether you would or whether you wouldn't. I hope you said yes. I hope you meant it. If you know, beloved, that as yet you've never really done business with God on heart level, real heart level, I want to ask you this. Will you do it tonight? Real heart level. Real inward deeps of you. Praise the name of the Lord. Will you do that? Because this is what it is. It's all got to be written in your heart. It's all got to be written there. The fact that it was written in this book, beloved, is only true, and the book's only there because it first came from Paul's heart. He said, before he said you're the epistles of Christ written in your heart, he says you're written in ours. That's before he said it. You're our epistle written in our hearts. You're the epistle of Christ. Our epistle and Christ's epistle are the same. Amen. So that when you start to write, beloved, it's Jesus Christ writing with you and in you and through you. And you're out of the cheap world of words. And you're in the world of costly works. You're in the realm where you know Calvary deeply, vitally. That place where Jesus was rent, utterly rent, that the Spirit could come through. Constantly come through. Constantly come through. When he was on the earth as a man, a spirit couldn't come through. The works of the Holy Ghost could come through him. The miracles could come through. Signs could be said. But he had to go and hang on that cross and be rent before the person of the Holy Ghost could come through him. Hallelujah. Come through him. You want to be a minister of the Spirit? Do you? Really? Mm-hmm. Now this is the only thing that counts. If it's words with you, and only words, you're not in the ministry of the New Testament. To be an able minister of the New Testament, you must be able to minister the Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our ministry, says. We have this ministry. Whatever anybody else has, this is the ministry we have. Glory be to God. Now, so far as I'm concerned, I want God to keep me faithful here. I want God to keep me so looking on the face of Jesus Christ that I don't want to look upon the face of some television star. I don't want to waste my time there. God, keep me so faithful looking on him that I'm not looking on the face of my favorite footballer in the daily something. God, keep me so faithful that I'm looking on Jesus' face. Yeah, that's where I want to be. And these other things will give you an indication. Praise the name of the Lord. Keep and sweep everything else out. Hallelujah. Keep you there. Pure for Jesus. Real for him. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now let's pray together. And if you've never been here, beloved, you've got to come here tonight. You know what I mean by got, don't you? This is the insistency and urgency of God. That the Lord may bring you into all the fullness of his love. Amen. How far have you come? How far have you let God go with you? Have you ever let him really reach your heart? And write in it?
No.
Really write on it? Have you? Have you ever felt in the Spirit? Have you ever felt him inscribing this thing deeply into your being?
Amen.
Man and woman, you're a
Amen.
Wonderful Spirit that he loves.
Glory.
And he wants to redeem you and utterly separate you from everything else.
Yes.
Will you believe that?
Yes.
Will you?
Glory.
Come on, my dear.
Yes.
Jesus loves you.
Yes.
You're dear to him. You're dear and sweet and wonderful to him.
Glory.
Don't stop at anything less than this. Lord, here's my heart.
Yes.
Go on, open yourself right up, beloved.
Lord.
Jesus. Go on, don't try and hide anything.
You needn't. He'll handle everything with love. Perfect love. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Glory.
What you're ashamed about. It doesn't matter what the devil's done. It doesn't matter about that. Look at the shameful thing he was made for you on that cross. It was for you, beloved.
Yes.
Shameful it was.
Hallelujah.
For you.
Yes.
He does love you.